Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Let's, if we could, put up the tabernacle, because that's what we are dealing with. And we're dealing with the tabernacle because the Holy Spirit thought it necessary that we learn some basic things about salvation, about God. Now, this tabernacle for salvation. This was created, I believe, that the Yehudim, which you call the Jews, which there is no such thing, and I'm not trying to degrade anybody, there just simply cannot be a Jew because there is no J in the Hebrew language.
Make it plain.
You know, we are so politically correct that we can't tell the truth anymore. Well, if there is no J in the Hebrew language, there cannot be a Jew and there cannot be a Jesus.
You make the devil mad then.
But the Ephraim people, Ephraim meaning those who cross over, talking about those people who were really a family who went down to Mizraim, which you call Egypt, and was put in bondage for 430 years. When they came out as a nation. They went in as a family, the family of Yaakov, which you call Jacob, and they came out as a nation. Ephraim just simply means those who crossed over. They took on another name of Yehudim, which is the tribe of Yehuda. And they took on that name, Yehudim. But these people, the Ephraim, who came out of Mizraim in about 1345 B.C., around in that area. Now, don't say I made an error because I said about 1345 or 65 B.C. That's when they crossed over the Red Sea into the land of Canaan. If we can get, now this is the entire layout of the tabernacle. God, if you notice, is in the center. All the tribes are set around God. And I made the point the other day, God will not be on the outside. He must be in the center of your life. And if you don't have him in the center of your life, he's not your God. But here, all of them, when they first wake up, they see God. When they go to bed, they see God. Because he was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by the day. They knew that Yahweh God was in their midst. Now, If we could get rid of all the other and just put up the encampment of the tabernacle. Let's see if we can do that. Can we do that? Because I want to get more specific in this tabernacle. This is a beautiful tabernacle. I thank you all for breaking this out because this is the actual setup. But I would like to see now that tabernacle, maybe that we had last week, that'll be okay. Because one thing we learned last week, this is the plan of Yahweh for salvation. 13-something B.C., Yahweh gave his plan of salvation. The whole little encampment. Yes, there you are. Thank you. Yahweh gave his plan for salvation. Now, the Old Testament is the plan for salvation. It's the blueprint for salvation. The New Testament executes the plan. Now, the way you can tell whether people are executing the plan, you have to go back to the plan and see if they're doing it exactly how the plan laid it out. How many of you know that? You know, you build a house, you got a blueprint. And you want to find out whether somebody did it by the blueprint, you got to go to the blueprint. And then if it's not exactly like the blueprint said it should be, then they're not executing the plan. So one thing we found out the last 2 weeks, what did we find out? There's only one way to God. Just one way. There is no other way. God laid out his plan. There's no gate on the west, no gate on the south, no gate on the north. The gate is in the east. And that tells us there's only one way to God. Now, I don't care what your doctrine is. You can be a Baptist. You can be a Methodist. But at least you got to acknowledge that there's one way. Now, your way might be the wrong way because there's one way. Right? Yeshua said, I am the way. See, you see, the Yehudims, including Yeshua, Yaakov, Yohanan, Shaul, they knew this like they knew the back of their hand. Yes. This Torah, this tabernacle that the Torah laid out, they do this like they do the back of their hand. And so when Yeshua said, I am the way, I am the door, and if any man climb up any other way, he's a robber and a thief. They knew he was talking about right here. So no matter how you look at it, Yeshua is the way. He is the door to the sheepfold, he says. Many, he says, came before me, but the true believer did not follow me. So that's, we found that out. Then last week, we finally got through the door. We call it the door. They would have called it the gate. Okay? So let's see what we saw. Remember the brazen altar? I'm going to wait for you. We had it up last week, the brazen altar. I'm sure they're working on it. But I don't want to go anywhere until I stop at this brazen altar and talk to you about it. Here we are. No, that is the mercy seat. That is the Ark of the Covenant. And the top of that with the angels on it is the mercy seat. That's not what we're looking for. This is once you get into heaven, you see that. This is the golden lampstand. This is not what we're looking for. These are the lamps that had to burn 24/7, representing the Holy Ghost. You got that? The Holy Ghost got to always be active in your life. So let's go to the next one. This is the golden altar of incense, where the priest would put coals from the brazen laver on that altar of incense, and the smoke representing prayer went up to God. We'll talk about that later. Here we are. The brazen altar. The altar of burnt offering. This looks beautiful. But when you remember what's going on here, is death. Day after day, week after week, animals being sacrificed on this altar. Now, I want us to go back again quickly to Levi, which you call Leviticus. And I know people think I kind of go way off when I start using the Hebrew terms. But the reality is, I want you to get familiar that there was a language that was spoken, and it was not English. And it was not Greek. And it was not Latin. It was Ivrim. And let's go to the fourth. And if one of the common people, there's no such thing in the Bible as common people. This is some English term that was thrown in there. The Hebrew said, if one of the people, sin through ignorance. All sin is through ignorance. How many would you agree? None of us intended to sin. We didn't intend to be born sinners. We were just living what we call our lives in ignorance of Yahweh's plan for the human family. So if anyone sinned in ignorance, I want you to say, that was me. I want you to say it again, that was me. Hallelujah. I wasn't born thinking I'm going to live the life I live. I didn't grow up thinking I'm going to live the life I live. I live the life I live because I was born where I was and live where I live. Amen. So the Bible indication, and it follows, it actually substantiates this, that we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We were born sinners. We didn't have to intend to sin. We were sinners right from the gate. While he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of Yahweh concerning things which ought not to be done and be guilty. Or if his sin which he has sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering. The only way your sin come to your knowledge is that you hear the word that said that was sin. Once upon a time, long ago, there was no sin. Because no one knew what sin was. So when we heard the word, sin came to our knowledge. He must bring an offering. A kid, the goat, a female without blemish, for his sin, which he have sinned. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of the sin offering and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. That means here that the altar, burnt offering. What he must do when he bring his sin offering, that kid, that goat, he had to lay his hands up on that goat and then take his dagger and plunge it into the goat's heart. Now we will talk about this altar and spending some time at this altar until you get to know and get imprinted about what sin really is and the result of sin. Because if you don't, you can't make it. I remember when I first heard the gospel, I was caught up in a vision in the church that morning as the gospel was being preached. And I saw this man hanging on the cross. And in a matter of seconds, the Holy Ghost revealed to me that I was responsible individually for that. And that broke my heart. That broke my heart. I rose up from my seat before the man could stop preaching. And I came down to the altar, tears running down. My wife was amazed. She had never seen me cry. And all I could say was, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Because it was imprinted in my spirit how horrible sin is to God. You were responsible for the crucifixion individually and collectively. Getting quiet, man. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I was responsible. I was responsible. The Holy Ghost has to reveal that to every believer as he or she stands at this altar, which is a type of the cross.
Amen.
Because if he does not, if you are not open to being imprinted with how horrible sin is and how distasteful sin is in the nostril of Yahweh God, you won't last. The only thing that keeps me over the years is I know what it means to him if I would go back and sin again. He shall lay his hands upon the offering, and he shall slay the lamb himself before the altar. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his fingers and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. Burnt offering. Now let's go to Yohanan 19. I'm just setting it up for today. Now here Yeshua is hanging on the cross. And a holy day is approaching. They need for all of these men to be dead because there was a thief on the right and a thief on the left. They needed for them all to be dead because they needed to come down before the high and holy day came in. And it was getting close. So their tradition was to break the legs of those who was hanging there on the cross. Now the nail was nailed into their feet so they could kind of stand up on the nail. It's painful, but that's better than sinking down. And so they would break their legs. And when they broke their legs, of course, they would sink down and suffocate just the whole inner being was, it was suffocating. Now, let's start at the 31st verse. The Yehudim, therefore, or Ephraim, because it was the preparing for the holy day, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day. Now, this is not Saturday. There were many Sabbath days, high holy days. This is not Saturday. This is a special Sabbath. For that the Sabbath day was the high day. See, it wasn't Saturday. It was a high day, a high Sabbath. Besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away or taken down. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first. The first thief, they smashed his leg and he sunk down. And of the other which was crucified with him, of a thief, they break his legs. But when they came to Yeshua and saw that he was dead already. Now, I'll talk to you about why this happened. We'll talk to this later on. They break not his legs. Now, in Smote 12, or in Bar Mitzvah, I believe 16, it'll tell you, you'll see the commandment or the type of the lamb. And the commandment is do not break his bones. And so here, they thought they were doing something. They thought they didn't know what was going on because they didn't break his leg, but scripture was being fulfilled. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Now, they weren't supposed to do that. The soldier didn't know why he did that. See, many times God's plan is being fulfilled by people who are ignorant of the plan. They think they're doing something else. Pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it. Now, well, let's just stop there for a moment. Blood and water. Now, if you remember when you slew the lamb at the brazen altar, the priest took the blood and poured it at the base of the altar. Come on. When this Roman soldier pierced Yeshua's side, the blood fell at the base of the cross. The sacrificial life. And he that saw it bear record. And his record is true. This is Johannes. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. You need to understand totally the suffering that went on there. When I read it during the communion, it stirs my soul. Because what we kind of read do not totally explain to us the suffering. For these things were done that the scripture might be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture said, they shall look on him whom they have pierced. Let's go back to the tabernacle. To the other one. Because seeing the general form does not necessarily, we don't get a close look at the you can stay there for a moment. Now, let's verify that this is the teachings of Yahweh. Let's go to the tabernacle, just the basic tabernacle. Thank you. But the scripture, let's look at Galatians 3. Just leave it on there. They can follow me in the scripture, and then we'll put it up later. They'll verify that I'm reading the scripture because I got it here. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin. I don't care how good you think you was. You know, I don't care how good mama was, how good Aunt Sue was. They were all sinners. All is under sin. That the promise by faith of Yeshua Mashiach might be given to them that believe. Now all is under sin, but the promise is only given to them that what? Look at your name, say, neighbor, I believe. I believe. See, the promise is there for all. But if you don't believe, you don't get the promise. Do that make sense? Everybody is not a Christian like we try to make it. That's a Christian nation. That is the worst, foolish junk I've ever heard in my life. There's no Christian nation. Everyone must believe before they get the promise. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Somebody say that means the Torah. And say the Torah means the teachings of God. Before faith came, they were under the Torah. When it says law, law is the English term. They were under the Hebrew term, the Torah. The teachings. This is the teachings of God. Shut up unto faith that should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law, the Torah, was our schoolmaster, our school teacher, our guide, our instructor to bring us unto Mashiach, that we might be justified in faith. I don't want to say by, because by is not a word. In faith. Now let's go back to the paragraph. Takes a little time for our electronics to boot up. Let's go back to the top. This is a school teacher. 1300 BC. And then at 2018, nearly 5,000 of 4,500 years ago, Yahweh gave us a teacher. And it was the Torah, which the main core of everything in that Torah surrounded the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the residing place of God. So this become our what? Our school teacher, leading us to Mashiach. Now, let's look, if we would, at the book of Romans. Romans 7. Wherefore, the Torah, the law, the teachings, is holy.
Amen.
And the commandments, holy and just and good. All of that we were taught in the Torah about living holy and living righteous was good.
Amen.
Was holy. But we were unholy.
Yes.
And unholy people cannot live holy.
Come on.
And even though they knew this was good,
yes,
they couldn't live it. They couldn't live it. What, that 13th verse, was then that which is good made death unto me? Yahweh forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin. Come on now, wait just a moment. This was done. This killing every day, every hour, all day long, week after week, year after year, that sin might appear sin. Working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandments might become exceeding sinful. Yahweh wanted to make an impact upon everyone who stood at this altar, let's put the altar back, that sin is exceeding sinful. That there is no excuse for a believer to sin. And that the believer might get in his or her spirit that sin is exceeding sinful. And the remedy, Vayava, because sin is unacceptable. The conclusion for Yahweh is death and blood. The wages of sin is death. Period. Every sinner must die. No excuses, no special folks. All day long. All day long. Somebody say all day long.
All day long.
Somebody say
all week long.
All year long. All month long. All year long. The killing, the blood and the gore at that altar went on. The bleeding of the sheep, the mooing of the bullocks. All day, every hour. Let's go back. The altar. That, there it is right here, but you can't see it, so I had it pulled out. The first thing you get to when you go in through the gate, you hear the gospel of Yeshua. The first thing you have to encounter is the place of death, that you might find life. You can't find life without knowing what death is. So you had to stop here. And you had to contemplate what is happening here. Yeshayahu 53:3. You call it Isaiah. Yeshayahu 53:3. Now let's see the suffering. Need to get in your spirit. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hear it as if we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And so here's what Yeshayahu, the prophet, is trying. He see Yeshua hanging on the cross. And he see this person who had done no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. And so he said, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We turned our faces from him. He was despised and we didn't esteem him, he said. Surely, fourth verse, he has borne our griefs. Our griefs, the word is mehalal, meaning piercing. We should have been pierced. We were the one that was under the sentence of death. But he took the piercing upon him and carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of Yahweh, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised, broken to pieces, the Hebrew would say, for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and within his stripes we are healed. Even in his dying, he found healing for those who would. He was thinking about you when he was dying. I want you to get the impact of this like I got the impact of it. He loved me even in death. Even though I was the reason he died, he still loved me. I can't go back. I can't turn around. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, doing your own thing, all of us. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is bought as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The suffering of rejection. The God who loved us, we rejected him. And all of us did for a time. I was 33 years old before I came to Yahweh in Yeshua. 33. I had sinned all over the world. I had been in the military. I had spent 11 and a half years traveling over the world. I sinned every place you can think about. It never gave God a thought. In every honky-tonk, in every den, in every cauldron of sin, you would find wash. That's what they all call me, wash. Didn't make a lot of sense because I wasn't being washed, for sure. And God laid on him all of my iniquity. Suffering was required for sin, as the altar, brazen altar, showed us. Day in and day out, the suffering of those animals, depicting the suffering of the Savior who would come. Suffering for sin, because sin is exceeding in Yahweh's sight sinful. Let's look at Tehillim. You would call it Psalms 22. See, the Bible is telling the story. The Old Testament is telling the story. We just sometimes miss it. Because we in this modern era of nothing is true, as truth is subjective. My truth is not your truth, even when it comes to the Bible. And even in the churches, it has an impact. The people of God are going astray because they think what they think is reality. Oh, I know that. No, you don't know it. If it's not making an impact on you, you don't know it. You heard it, but you don't know it. I'm not fussing, I'm preaching. I'm going to the word. I'm not. The sixth verse. And this is Yeshua hanging on the cross, describing his suffering. But I am a worm, a cockroach. He could be talking about the worm that they used to dye cloth with, the little red worm they used to dye cloth with. Or he could be talking about the worm who attaches himself to the tree and builds a cocoon around himself. And if he does not produce, he cannot free himself from that cocoon. He is tied to that tree until death. He He says, I'm up on this tree until death. I cannot come down, for if I come down, every sinner must die for themselves. And no man, nobody's thinking about me. A reproach of men and despise of the people. This is Yeshua talking. Maybe 1,000 years before he was. Well, no, not the moment. You figure Psalm was written during the time of David, when the nation had begun. So it's a lot of hundreds of years. But all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They're around that cross laughing, making jokes. They shoot out their lips. They shake their head, saying, he trusted in Yahweh that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, saying he delighted in him. Wow. Look at him. He trusted that Yahweh was going to deliver him. Now let him deliver him. We'll watch and see. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Talking to Yahweh. Thou didst make me whole when I was in my mother's belly. 12th verse. Many bulls have come past me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. Parim is this word in the Hebrew for bulls. And when you look that up, it talks about a shaking, an agitation, snorting. And so as he looked at those people, they looked like bulls. You know, a bull is pawing the earth and they're snorting and they're agitating, they're prancing back and forth. That's how he saw them. He said, they're all around. They gape upon me with their mouth as a raving and roaring lion. He saw them as bulls prancing and pawing the earth. And then he saw them as lions with their mouths wide open, roaring at him. I am poured out like water. And all my bones out of joint. Hanging there on the cross, he said, all of my bones be out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Hanging here is like my heart is dropping down to my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. A potsherd just means an earthen vessel. And my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. In other words, now he see them as barking dogs. At the base of the cross. Woof, woof, woof. He's seeing these people acting like animals. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hand and my feet. Now you can't say this is not Yeshua. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them. Hey, isn't this the gospel? They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vest. Isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the suffering that was shown so many years before? Hundreds, maybe several thousand years. Let's go back to the tabernacle. The tabernacle itself. Thank you. Let's go to the brazen lake. Thank you. Here is where all of the killing was going on. Here's the type of the cross. He suffered worse than anybody that ever suffered. I know we know. Yeah, the folks wear these golden crosses. And they glorify the cross. That wasn't a pretty place. I will never wear a cross. Because wearing the golden cross sort of minimized what actually went on there. My brothers and sisters, this is serious business. This is serious business. I said, this is serious business. The created killing the creator. This is serious business. I'm going to read one more scripture before I let you go. Yeshayahu 52. Behold my servant. This is Yahweh speaking. Behold my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Watch it. As many was astonished at thee, his vestige was so marred more than any man, and his form more than sons of men. Let me read it from the Hebrew. As which many was astonished at him, so marred, charad is a Hebrew word, destroyed, spoiled, so marred beyond human resemblance was his appearance. It's his human form beyond that of man. He did not even look like a human. They had beat him with that cat of nine tails until he didn't even look like a human being. He didn't even resemble a human. He was cut to the bone all over. No man has ever suffered like this. He didn't even look like a man any longer. No man has ever been suffering this kind of brutality. sin is exceeding sinful. That is the message. Now here, put it back on the golden brazen altar. Once you're here and you see this death, if the impact of this, and now we flip it to the cross, because when you come, the gospel is preached, you come in and you see Yeshua hanging on the cross. If the impact of sin has not been imprinted in your spirit of how horrible sin is, then you should not go any farther. You should turn around. Go back to the tabernacle. You should turn around and go out. Because there ain't nothing good waiting for you. If you don't get the impact of how horrible sin is in the nostrils of Yahweh, you don't need to go any farther. And I'll show you why when I ended up. Ephraim 6. You call it Hebrews. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. Now, just stop right there. You have not gone any farther. So you have not tasted of the heavenly gift yet. That's why you need to go back out the gate, because you don't want to go any farther, because there ain't nothing good waiting for you. One who has been enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good Logos of Yahweh, the good word, and the powers of the world to come. If they fall away, go back to sin. Start dabbling in sin. To renew them again unto repentance. Sin they crucify to themselves. Look, to themselves, the Son of God afresh. And put him an open shame. This is serious business. God is not trying to frighten anybody. He's trying to inform people. If your spirit has not received the impact of how sinful sin is in the eyes of Yahweh, you should not go any farther. You should stop and go back. I mean, you're still going to hell, but you know, you don't get away from that. But to crucify him afresh, to crucify him again, after you've been to that crucifixion, and now you would put him back again on the cross. You would take him through the beatings of the cat of nine tails. You would put him on that cross again and crucify him. There's no room for repentance. There's no room for repentance. Because you put him to an open shame. We have just begun this tabernacle. We've just got in the gate, and now we're standing at the brazen altar, the cross. And we are seeing the impact of sin. I got 5 minutes. Before we can move on, I just want to move this. Next week, we're going to move on to the golden labor, the brazen labor. But we need to talk about, just to speak on a little bit of something before we move on. And that will be found back again in Yohanan, the 19th chapter, and the 34th verse. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood. We've dealt with the blood. Why do you think the Holy Ghost made that statement? If all I needed was the blood, why would he say blood and water? Because he just said the blood. First Johann. If you stick with me through these lessons, you will know everything there is to know about salvation, at least. Fifth chapter, fifth verse. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Yeshua is the Son of Yahweh. This is he, Yeshua, that came by water and blood. Even Yeshua Mashiach, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that bears the witness, because the Spirit is truth.
The Scripture. Where's the Scripture?
We have come to the blood.
Come on.
Put the tabernacle back up. We have come to the brazen altar, the altar of burnt offerings. We are getting ready to move on. But we have to get the water. Put me up the labor. And then we'll end it right here. We have to come here. And I'll leave you with this. There was water in one cup on the bottom, and water in one cup on the top. Saying, here there is two baptisms. Two baptisms. Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We thank you for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the Logos, the Word, that beareth witness with you, Yahweh, that Yeshua is true, and he is the Son of Yahweh. He is the Savior of the world. He's the one that died on the cross of Calvary. He is the one who was brutalized because sin is exceeding sinful. Help us as his people to understand the horribleness of sin and the glory of salvation. We thank you in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be someone here today that said, this message made an impact on my spirit, on my soul, and I want to be saved. If you're here today